Some of you may know Emacs as the rival to Vim. And we know that Vim has been increasing in popularity. However, I like to go against the grain, which means I pivoted to Doom Emacs a couple years back, and I haven't looked back. I have no intention of going back to Vim. So in this video, I'm gonna talk about Doom Emacs specifically, what it is, how it works with Nix, which is my Linux distro, how I use it for coding some of my favorite packages, even some of the underexplored features in Emacs that I really wanna dive into. Doom Emacs is actually a framework for Emacs, so it's essentially like a pre-built Emacs. Emacs is completely customizable in and of itself. It's a lot, okay? Some people will call it a text editor, but a text editing is just one of many features that this ecosystem has. I feel like some people say it's an operating system. Emacs is basically an application that allows you to have a keyboard-centric workflow for anything and everything you could probably want to do on a computer. You can browse web pages, you can create notes that you can then export to any file format. You can execute code, you can use it as a code editor, you can manage all of your tasks in a calendar, and even have it lay out an entire agenda of your tasks for the week. That in and of itself made me curious about Emacs. But what really made me make the jump to Emacs was org mode. And we'll talk about that a little bit further into the video because it is unreal. And I'll walk you through some of the ways that I use org mode. I have barely scratched the surface with org mode, despite the fact that I've been using Emacs for quite a while. There's so many features in Emacs that I've just stayed to my little circle of things that I enjoy and that I've improved my workflow. Every once in a while, I veer out of my comfort zone and try something new. Org mode is a whole can of worms in and of itself, but I'll give you a pretty simplistic workflow with org mode so that you can adopt it pretty easily if you want to try it out. Now, obviously a huge benefit with Emacs is that it's open source. I love supporting open source software, and so many of the packages as well for Emacs are open source. So being able to support anything and everything from that ecosystem is outstanding. Another great reason why I chose Doom Emacs specifically is because it has support for what's called evil mode, which means that all of your years of Vim knowledge and the time that you've invested to get used to Vim keybinds and shortcuts and commands actually transfer. So you don't necessarily have to learn any of the Emacs bindings for anything. You can just use your Vim keybinds and commands that you're used to. Part of what appealed to me about Doom Emacs in particular is that while it is customizable, I don't have to customize it for it to just work. It's pretty easy to be productive right off the gate. And you don't have to customize a ton in order to enable new language servers or work in any programming languages that you want. It's pretty much as easy as just uncommenting some lines from the config, and it just works. I will also say Doom Emacs in particular, a lot of the design decisions in the UX of Doom Emacs is outstanding. I actually, when I first got introduced to Doom Emacs and I was looking through the different commands, I actually took inspiration from how well organized all of the keybinds were and made some modifications to my NeoVim config at the time in order to make it nicer, just basically copying the keybinds over from Doom. I personally find the keybinds really intuitive, and I think that they are really well organized, and you can fuzzy find through all of the available commands. It will show you the keyboard shortcut for all of those commands, or when they have one assigned at least. And what's nice too is because of the grouping of these commands, you can become a power user of Doom Emacs without having to spend like hours reading through the documentation. You can just get really hands-on experience using it and just improve and get faster with your workflows. The author also does a really good job of prioritizing stability. It often depends on a slightly older version of Emacs because that stability is like the core factor with Doom Emacs. So I personally loved that because I don't know about you, but I had my NeoVim on nightly so that it had tree sitter support back when I used Vim. That also meant that pretty much whenever I would update my plugins, something would break. I don't know if that was just plugin authors breaking changes and not making that a major version release, or me overlooking the fact that it was a major version change. I don't know where the issue lay, okay? But my NeoVim config would break a lot, and maybe I've broken my Emacs config like one time. Like, it has been so few and far between. It is just nice having a environment where it's a keyboard-centric workflow. And honestly, the knowledge translates, like the fact that it's all Vim keybinds and everything. So it feels super comfortable and is super adaptable to so many different environments. It's not like I'm learning keyboard shortcuts that only work for this specific editor. It's very transferable knowledge. The fact that you can have that consistency in your workflows across every service that you want is really outstanding. And again, it's super customizable. I will say that this is something that makes Doom Emacs not a great fit for everyone. The customizability for Doom Emacs, because it is a framework, is more limited than if you were doing a pure Emacs configuration. It's kind of a bit of that give or take. Like in my case, I was sick of my NeoVim config breaking all the time and having my own config from scratch, having to maintain that. This one just works all the time and I really love that. And I also like that it has so many built-in features that I haven't used before. So I get to kind of experiment or play with that whenever I am bored or feel like it. Versus I feel like when you are creating your own config from scratch, you're the only person that is supplying that with the packages that you want and with the configuration stuff that you want. So there's a bit less room to explore, a bit more to maintain, but it gives you full customizability on all of the keybinds and every single part of your experience. So again, I do really like that this is just so like transferable to either Vim or Emacs, and that it's completely customizable.
Hey, this is Editing Bunny. So I kind of forgot why I was using Emacs Overlay and gave you the wrong explanation for how Emacs Overlay works. So basically, I have Emacs Overlay as part of my configuration.nix file for NixOS because it allows me to manage some packages like vterm, and I think I have like xcopy or pbcopy or something like that. I don't know. You can check my .dot files. I have them linked below. But it basically allows you to manage some packages that you'd want to have installed for Emacs just at like a system level. That's what Emacs Overlay does. It shows it as an Emacs package that you can import. If you use Emacs Overlay, you have to pin it to a specific version. Otherwise, if you're just pinned to master, it's going to try and actually rebuild Emacs from source every time that you run Nix rebuild switch. So that is why my configuration is what it is. And that is what I would recommend to you if you have packages that you want consistently installed for Emacs. I don't manage all of my packages through Emacs. I kind of have a little bit of a mixed bag there, but I found that one was pretty consistent. So that's what Emacs Overlay does. And that's my workaround for having super long build times on Nix after I added the Emacs. Okay, back to the video.
Let's talk about some of my favorite features within Emacs. And of course, the first mention has to be Magit or Magit. Okay, I know people try to say that it's like magic, but listen, I call it Magit and it drives people insane. And I'm sorry, I'm not gonna change. People love Magit. I love Magit. And it's interesting because I've always been a bit of a diehard command line tool user. So I've always just used the Git CLI, but Magit does give me the perfect amount of increased visibility on what's happening for a specific repo without taking away any of the control that I'm used to having from interacting with the CLI. Now, one thing that I do that's kind of weird is I actually don't use Magit itself to commit my changes. This stems from the fact that I use signed commits, and typically the key that I have to sign my commits is on a YubiKey, which means that I have to touch the key. Sometimes that whole process will just like completely break the UI. This is not exclusive to Magit. I've experienced this with every single Git UI that I've tried, including Lazy Git and what other commit? And often even in terminal emulators that are running within a program. Like I think if I've tried to use a Git commit on vterm that runs in Emacs, it'll also give me garbled output. So it's just kind of part of the process of using signed commits. But I do love Magit for staging changes and even just giving me a high level overview of what the state of my project is. So I personally find this a way better experience than using git add p. Magit gives you a full overview of all of the changes, what's been staged. You can tab to close or open all of the hunks that you have either staged or want to stage. I also have mentioned this in a previous video, but I also really like using the Magit diff arrange to be able to do local PR review.
There's a couple of ways that I use Magit to review changes locally. Part of the reason why I really like it is I do find it a lot easier to kind of navigate the code and like see what things are doing when I'm in my editor. It's easy for me to go to definition and all of those things. GitHub has made a lot of effort to kind of make that easier in the web interface. But that being said, I just still don't think that it's not as comfortable as when I'm in my own editor. I gotta say, there's a couple ways that I can do it. So let's say I'm on a feature branch. This is my feature branch for Bubbles right now. One way that I can do this is I can do make it diff range. And then I'm just going to choose like master, for example. And it's going to tell me actually like how many files were changed, how many insertions, how many deletions, like full overview of all of the changes in the Git history. One thing that's really great here is not only am I seeing all of this, like it's in my editor. So if there are changes that I want to make to this and I'm like, yeah, no, you know, this part not sitting right with me, I can just hit enter and then I'm there in my editor and I can just like change things. Right. And then change that. And then I can go to Megit and then see what my staged and unstaged changes are, stage it, and then like push that to the pull request. Like it's so, so easy for me to make these changes now. So yeah, highly recommend. So that is the ranged diff for Megit. That one's really good. And this is showing changes from master to working tree. I haven't had to do this too much recently because I'm not really working collaboratively with any other devs, but that feature is outstanding. If you are looking to review changes from within your text editor, Megit makes it super easy and makes it feel very similar to the GitHub interface where it just has everything laid out really nicely, but everything is obviously modifiable and all within your text editor, meaning that all of your shortcuts for navigating the code, including searching for specific terms and changes, whatever, is all, you know, in the environment that you're used to. There's also Megit log that lets you see the state of all of the branches on your repo, which can be kind of helpful, especially if you're working on branches with other collaborators, which is, I mean, kind of the point of version control. It can let you see when the last time that a branch was updated with main, and if you're waiting to see if a specific feature has been merged or not, you can just quickly check that with Megit log, and it's really nice. And of course, because Megit is so widely loved, we have to talk about why Megit is so loved by the internet. So this user asked, why use Megit? They said they've been thinking about it for a while and they understand Emacs users wanting to have everything inside of Emacs itself. Relatable. You start out not like this, by the way. You start out normal and just being like, oh, I'm okay to use other tools. And then slowly you're like, but this could happen in Emacs. And then all of a sudden you want your freaking emails in Emacs, okay? But how did people get comfortable with using a front end for Git? I find it terrifying to do a Git operation from a front end. However, I've heard people say that Megit is the greatest thing out there. To me, at least at first glance, it just seems like any other front end for Git. So what am I missing? One user says, Megit is a thin porcelain over normal Git. It's Git, but without the need to type, commit, range, branch, because it can be inferred from the current Megit buffer. It's sincerely one of the nicest ergonomics UI UX that I've ever had the pleasure to use. So much so that I made a recurring payment to the Megit maintainer. My daily job is easier thanks to Megit. I agree with this. It is one thing that I find with a lot of GUIs is that the opinions of the author translate into the controls that you get in a GUI, like what is really necessary. Megit doesn't do that. Every single command that you would want to do in Git exists in Megit. It's keyboard centric again. So it feels like a very similar process to how you would even use the command line. So for example, it's like you open up Megit and you decide that you want to do an interactive rebase, for example. And then it's going to open up a buffer where you can edit the commits in a range to decide what you want to revert, what you want to keep, and what you want to get rid of. It essentially feels like you're using a CLI and just providing flags because it's not requiring a ton of extra effort. Another user says, both your question and your reservations are valid. I shared them before I started using it. I used to have a from my cold dead hands attitude about using Git from the command line, which relatable, especially having been exposed to various integrated version control front ends, all of which I found frustrating, useless, and mostly clunky. I've also found that a lot of GUIs for Git can feel really clunky because it feels very unintuitive if you're used to using the command line. And all of the patterns that you get used to using, the workflows that you get used to using within this GUI are specific to that GUI. The user goes on to say, but most of all, like you're touching on, they made me feel like they were hiding the underlying operations from me, and not seldom they would run away and just do things I'd not expected in their misguided attempts to be user-friendly, which is terrifying. Once I tried Megit, I found it to be a very different beast in the sense that the operations I perform with it map very naturally to the individual operations I'd be doing from the command line and only adding something I can best describe as a quality of life layer to it. I'm simply doing the same things that I do from the command line in basically the same way, only in a more ergonomic fashion, and I'm never surprised by what it does. Another thing that sets it apart from other front ends is that, of course, it's a keyboard-oriented workflow, unlike most graphical counterparts where keyboard shortcuts feel like more of an afterthought. I'm not going to join a cult or become religious over it. I can't really see myself going back to the command line. I still like to use both, but that is one thing I feel like when you get used to a simplified subset of features implemented in a very specific way, it can be hard to go back to more of a lower level interaction with a tool. I don't find that with Magit that it makes me worse at using the Git command line because, again, the commands map directly. Whereas I feel like if I was using a different Git UI or Git interface that I got used to and my workflows were based in that, that it's, again, less transferable and makes me a bit more dependent on that specific tool. Another user says, for me, a big selling point towards Magit is the interactive rebase flow. Rearranging, rewording, squashing commits is super easy. Another thing is diffing. I can easily diff branches and files right within Emacs and jump to the changes directly. I don't do it often, but also interactive staging with patches is very convenient with Magit. Not Magit, but also really neat is the Git time machine. I have not checked that out. Interactive staging with patches is really interesting. I'd be so curious to see. I mean, that would be nice. I don't know what other workflows people typically have with patches to be able to, like, I guess usually you just create a new branch, apply the patch, see how you go. But interactive staging with patches probably means that you can almost like preview that before having any kind of commitment to it. I don't really know what that workflow would look like, but I'm curious. I'm curious what that means. The thread goes on to say, it doesn't feel like a front end. It gives you all the flags and the natural operations of Git laid out in front of you rather than what most Git front ends do of asking a question and performing whatever operations it wants to on your behalf. Magit is much more like having every possible Git command pre-hotkeyed and presented to you for you to find your own flow. Another user says, there are Git operations that I've run because I've been able to search for and see possible commands beforehand. I never would have done rebase, squash, etc. before because I didn't understand them and I was too afraid to mess things up. Exactly, yeah. Magit gives you like a very foolproof way that you can do operations with Git without needing to necessarily like run the command to understand what the result is going to be. Another user goes on to say that it also helps them find new Git commands that they never would have looked at before. So it can help also on the kind of exploration front on that end. Now, some other packages that I really like for my Emacs setup are Vterm. I use Vterm as my terminal emulator within Emacs. I've heard this one is the most like performant. It has the most features. So it's kind of the most like modern option that you can have. You might run into other issues like limited colors or not handling grapheme clusters well. If you're using a different terminal emulator, I can only really speak to my experience with Vterm. I switched into Vterm very quickly after getting Emacs set up the first time and I didn't really look back. And then a big part of my coding workflow that I added semi-recently is bookmarks. I love adding bookmarks to my code, especially if I'm debugging or working on a very specific feature set. Like often you're going back and forth between a few different spots and bookmarks are a really easy way to manage that. Of course, my entire config will be linked in the description so you can check it out for yourself anyway. Some features that I want to try, meaning I've installed the package but not actually configured it properly, are the RSS feed. I have an RSS feed reader on my phone, but I would like to have one within Emacs. And there is one that comes out of the box. I just haven't configured it properly, so it's not quite working yet, but I would love to have an RSS feed. I also have quite a long list of ways that I want to improve my current org mode workflow because mine is super minimal. I also really want to try org roam. If you're used to having kind of a digital brain in a sense, similar to what Obsidian offers, where you can have files as nodes and every file is kind of interconnected to show the entire web of knowledge that you have documented. Org roam is essentially that for org files.
And that would be a really fun thing to add. I also really want to improve my setup for using Emacs as my task management tool, especially on the go, because I mainly just use it when I'm at my computer, which is generally fine. Like most of my actual work that I do is at a computer anyway. Like I'm a programmer, okay? I like being at the computer. So I'm mostly fine with that, but sometimes it would be fun to be able to double check my agenda for the week or different things like that while I'm out. If I'm depending on it more heavily for a calendar and agenda functionality that org mode provides. Org mode is incredibly powerful. What I've even just listed was just not even scraping the surface for what org mode is capable of, but we can talk about some of the features that really stood out to me and that might make a huge impact for you. I think especially if you're a student, you might find this particularly interesting, or if you're somebody that has to write a lot of LaTeX or other file formats that are a little bit more obscure and a little bit more technical to have to try and adopt, you might find that this is a good solution for you. You can actually export org files to any file format. This includes like Markdown, HTML, LaTeX, all of it. And so you can basically just get really comfortable writing org files and make that your blog posts. They're all just org files, but you export them to HTML or have to write a report for school. You can have the comfort of just writing everything in an org file and then exporting it to LaTeX. I did this for some assignments before and it was awesome. This, of course, is using Pandoc under the hood. So shout out to Pandoc. It's a great tool and the number one Haskell project ever, probably. Okay, that's like whenever people are like, oh, we don't use Haskell in production. I'm like, well, have you seen Pandoc? That's like the go-to example of a successful Haskell project. So shout outs to Pandoc, okay? The nice thing too is that if you want to export to any format, you can either have it write that to a file or you can have it open in a temporary buffer, copy those contents and paste that wherever you want. It's also super easy to add source code and quotes. You pretty much just have to do a angled bracket Q and then hit tab or angled bracket S and then hit tab and it'll give you that full block. You can even state what programming language it is so that it'll have syntax highlighting and you can execute those code blocks as well within org mode and it'll show you the output underneath. There is also great built-in navigation, meaning you can jump between different headings at the same depth, which is way nicer than trying to do the same thing in Markdown. And of course, there's very powerful task management and scheduling. There's an entire calendar that you can just do by writing a to-do in front of a task. Part of what I love about org mode is that it's freeform. So you can really structure it in any way that makes sense for your brain and still have it output a full calendar for you, a full agenda for the week, without you having to put a ton of effort into managing all of those tasks. I feel like when I've used different like Kanban boards in the past or all of these task management tools, they can take so much time to keep the tasks organized in the right way so that it shows up properly for you. Org mode, it's like if I want to schedule it on a certain day, I just do leader MDS and then the current highlighted task, it'll open up a calendar. I can just type in like June 10th and it'll put it in for June 10th on that day. It can even set a time, you can add labels, you can do all of this stuff to organize your tasks within org mode. It's really outstanding and takes like so little lift to stay organized compared to other task management solutions out there. Again, I think the biggest con with this is just the fact that it's not available on the go. So once I find a solution for that, I'll make a video about it. Let me know in the comments if you want to see that video. If I find another video in the meantime as well that I think covers this well, I'll try and link it as a comment or in the description. So keep an eye on that too. You can also add links of all kinds. You can add an FTP link. You can add a local file link. You can add an HTTP link. They support every single kind of protocol that you can have to attach links. So that's a nice thing too, is that you don't have to necessarily clutter your task list with additional context for each task. This is kind of similar to what a lot of people like about Notion, where you can pretty much have a list of all of the projects that you want to work on, and then you can have more details on that specific project kind of just linked to it as a separate page. You can do that within org mode, and that's really nice for staying organized. And of course, if you have the additional layer of org roam, you get that graphical interface to show you all of those nodes too. I say this as someone who hasn't used org roam yet, okay? Most of how I use org mode is pretty straightforward. I just use it to create tasks. I'll link specific files. So right now I have a full task list of everything that I have to do this week. And for each of them, I'll have maybe a video that I need to get done. And for that, I'll have the script linked.
as a file instead of taking up any kind of space on my task list. So it just keeps everything really straightforward. And then I can also schedule those so it shows up on my agenda on which days I want to work on those things. The agenda and calendar are managed for you by Emacs. You just have to add the scheduled dates and they can all show up as tasks on those dates. You can also add tags to any of your tasks so you can categorize them by work, side hustle, or even personal with very little lift. When you're done with your tasks, you can mark them as completed and you can also archive them so that they no longer show in your task list. I generally tend to have like one org file per month, but I think if I was maybe having better practices with archiving stuff, I probably wouldn't necessarily need to do that, but usually I'll have like a June.org file and I'll just keep updating that with all of the tasks that I want to get done in June. It's nice too that in org files, it's very easy to just collapse anything that you don't want to see. So this can just be a nice way to stay focused on whatever your current task is or whatever your current day is so that you're not getting distracted by the overwhelm of additional tasks that you still have yet to do. As for the features that I have yet to explore, I really want to check out the access from another device or my phone. Right now I'm just using version control, so I keep all of my tasks in a Git repo and access that repo from different machines. I also want to look into snippets. I'm also intrigued by multi-cursor support. I've heard so many people talk about the value of multi-cursors. I always thought that maybe just like a search and replace is fine because I'm used to using Vim. So often I'll just like select a block of code and then just use the S command to replace the words. Apparently with multi-cursor, you can have non-uniform edits and you can have either the different edits or the same edit under each cursor. So that sounds like it can be pretty powerful. So I might actually make the effort to check that one out. I do think it'd be really fun to do a video dedicated to just upgrading my Emacs workflow where I look through a ton of the different features that are available, handpick them, and actually fully implement them. It could also be interesting to do a dedicated video just on the Emacs calendaring system so that we can get it fully organized and make it accessible from other devices so that you can still check it on the go. To me, this feels like a prerequisite to actually becoming dependent on the org mode calendar. So I think that could make for a fun video. Let me know in the comments what you think and if you have any other Emacs specific content that you want to see from me. Don't forget to give it a like, give it a subscribe if you want to support my channel, and I will see you in a future video. Goodbye for now.